Sorry, I might have to leave this building with him in my back seat. Boot. Very good, mate. Thanks, buddy. You can take a seat. Give him a hand, Abib. I'll tell you what. As much as I'm a music teacher, some of the things that this young man does, you can't teach. It's actually just, it's a gift from God. Certainly we can encourage that and bless others with our gift. One of the great gifts that God has given us is the gift of jazz. So this is a beautiful song, one of the favourite songs of my mum and dad and grandma and grandpa. It talks about a relationship with God, which is not that God's a long way away. A lot of people think God's a long way away. We pray like he's a long way away. Like, God, if you could just hear me. God, if you could just spare a bit of time for me. And it's like we really think God is a long way away. What does the Bible tell us and what does Jesus' actions on the cross tell us? That he's closer than our very breath. He's right here, willing to guide, to lift, to comfort, to love, closer than a brother. And so this song sort of covers that very beautifully. It's a song called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So let's walk with Jesus. He's our best friend. As I said, a bit of jazz for you as well. God in prayer.
trials and temptations. Is that trouble anywhere? Jesus, he's my very portion. Souls there.
We got words up there, have you? Oh, there you go. My phone's gone off, so I can't read the ones from back wall because I need glasses. I can't read these ones from this side on. So what does it say?
Can we find a friend so faithful?
If you've got a saxophone on this thing, okay? Where's the saxophone? A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. It's soft, isn't it? Let me turn up the saxophone.
Very Christian audience, Pastor Philip. You've got them well trained. Yeah, this thing turns off. I've got to set the settings. Nigel, you can help me with that later, all right, mate? Just, yeah, the auto shut off. See? Maybe. Had the privilege of being with a friend of mine through a very dark, difficult time. She was one of our worship leaders, and she had due to viral encephalitis, she had a swelling in the brain. She had a seizure. She fell over in the shower. And basically, you know, she was brain dead for a certain period there, and that they had to put her in a coma and wait for her to come out. And so they've stabilised her, but she lost a lot of her short-term memory. One of the effects of that part of the brain was damaged that she can't form new memories easily. And so I visit her in hospital, and as I said, she's a great worship leader. Just loved God, loved singing to Him. And she couldn't remember if you went out of the room, you'd come back in again. And she'd go, oh, so lovely to see you. Thanks for visiting me. And she knew who you were, because if you're a long-term friend, but she couldn't remember that you were just in the room. But no matter what was going on through her days, remembering, forgetting, just the trauma of that whole brain thing, one thing she never forgot was that God loved her. And she kept singing these songs of worship, and she would never forget a single word, even though I forget words. And she would just keep singing these songs. And I thought, you know what? My name's Glenda, and I said, Glenda, you know, God's given you the gift of faith to hang on to Him in this time. And there's one song that stuck with her, which helped her, which was a song called Healing Waters, Healing Waters Flow. So I'd like to sing that for you now. Perhaps even while I'm singing, if you have need for healing, you know, just receive healing from God right now. His presence is here. The song, I wanted to change the words because Healing Waters Flow is a beautiful sentiment, a beautiful thing that God wants to do, but it doesn't sort of sit as a nice worship chorus in amongst the big shouts of the Lords, and I could sing of Your love forever. So I changed the word to Living Waters Flow, but it didn't. It's just like it lost
the essence of what God wanted to do. The song was meant to be about healing. And so I just let it be that. And so Glenda would keep singing this song, Healing Waters Flow, Healing Waters Flow. And now she's able to function. She's living in Queensland now with her husband and doing really, really well. So if you need healing, though, this morning, I'm going to stick to the original words, which is Healing Waters Flow. I just received from the Lord this morning. God, glory this morning. Give him thanks for his goodness to us. is great to be here, and I'd love to share a brief word with you, but it's a very important word. It's a four-letter word. It's not love. It's not as powerful as the word love, but a very, very important word. It's not work, which is another one we think, okay, if it's not love, maybe work, maybe, No, I'll tell you the answer. Some of you are going, oh, what's the answer? Just. And when I talk about the word just this morning, it's not the word just as in the just shall live by faith. In fact, that's not the right word anyway. The word is not just. The word is such. Sorry. Rewind the tape. Guillaume? 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 Guillaume. I keep trying to put too many L's in there. Guillaume and Priscilla, isn't it? Yeah, what a cool couple. How long you guys married? How long have you been married? 5 years. Yeah. I just see like God, there's like a spring, just a spring of life. God loves you, but like there's like two streams coming together, and that's an awesome thing. But even amongst what we bring, each of us individually as husband and wife, there's a spring that God has for you that's special for you as a couple. And God's going to spring new life and fresh life and blessing and increase through your lives as a couple. I just see that this is a great time, great season for you both. Drink and flow with God. So, yes, the message this morning is the power of such. Not the word just. Sorry about that. It's a good word, though, isn't it? Good message for you, Pastor Philip. Just. The just shall live by faith. The power of such. Now, do you mind if I come down a little bit closer? Is that all right?
Have pulpit will travel.
I like to feel like I can just reach out and touch. Some of you are going, oh, don't get too close to me. I'm still trying to work you out. Who is this guy? This piano playing, jumping around guy? My name's Michael. God saved me many, many years ago, and he's still working on me. So just hang in there, all right? So. By the grace of God. So the power of such is an important message, I believe, because God wants to empower you to know that what you've got, what you have in your hand, what you have in your heart right now is enough. Okay? It's not like, oh, one day when there's a prophetic conference or when someone gives me a big prophecy or I change jobs or I get married, somehow when that happens, I'll be able to be in a place where I feel like I can do what I need to do for God because I've finally got the answer. I'm telling you right here, right now, you have enough faith, grace, love, passion in God to be and do whatever he has created to you to be and do. And as soon as we become content in that, you find our life just becomes so much more, I guess not easy is not the right word, but just resting in him, surrendered to him and watch him work. But we've got to get this word such. So the world portrays heroes as invincible, chiseled, noble, fearless, amazing warriors. You go to any movie. I went to a movie a couple of nights ago and the hero can just do everything. You know, they're just invincible. They can jump over buildings. They can crack codes on computers. You know, they can just hold their breath for 5 minutes. They're always good looking. They're always impenetrable. They're noble, And I'm just talking about the 15-year-old girls in the movies, It's not the guys are the heroes. It's these young girls, from the, what's that movie? Those movies, Divergence, and Hunger Games. It's always the girl, No, we don't need guy heros anymore. It's the young girl. So basically, if you're 15, between 15 and 19, you look like this, you're amazing, and you're going to save the world. I'm thinking, how can the rest of us compete with that? But that's actually not God's plan. God's hero, he doesn't have a list of losers and heroes. God says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and we are the apple of God's eye. God thinks you are amazing. God thinks you're amazing. God thinks you're amazing. You know that, don't you? You know that. I can tell you know that. God thinks I'm amazing. And so for us to disagree with him is actually, you don't argue with God. God says you're awesome. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So the greatest Bible stories we have about heroes in the Bible were actually not people who had something amazing. They're just people who used what they had, what God gave them in the natural, and God added his super. God's super on top of our natural gives us supernatural. So we want to make a difference in the world. We want to be people who are used by God to bring a transformation to our city, to our nation, for God's glory. we need to be supernatural, but it's not out of us being super amazing spiritual. It's actually us just allowing God's super to add what he's given us in this mortal body, this temple, and God can put in us that super that makes us supernatural heroes for him. I just want to sing a song, but I've already sung enough for now, I think. It's a Keith Green song. Who likes Keith Green or who has heard of Keith Green? A few people? There's that old song, you know it ain't no use banging your head up against that cold stone wall. Because nobody's perfect except for the Lord, and even those best bound to fall. And it talks. Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, Guillaume's got the reverb ready to go. It talks about Moses being a stutterer. He said, I don't know what to say to people, to deliver the people. Noah goes, I don't know how to be the salvation for mankind, for God's covenant for man to survive and to do the right thing for God. I don't know how to do it. And God says, Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, it's a stick. You know, and so Moses thought, oh, maybe I'm meant to be a drummer. You know, I think Moses was the first drummer. I know David was the first guitar player because he's playing guitar before the king, and the king gets, you know, possessed. He's possessed by an evil spirit, the Bible says. Saul got really just manifested, and he starts throwing spears at David. So David's got his guitar, and he's trying to dodge these spears while he's playing his guitar for Saul, and he's going like this. Oh, gee. Tough crowd. Come on. Nah, it's still fun. But David had a sling. Imagine Moses without his rod, Noah without the ark, Joseph without his coat, the little boy with his lunch. You know, God doesn't need much, does he? Just lunch. That's a miracle zone. You've got something in your hand. You got a pair of sunglasses. That could be an answer to someone's life. Right there, just in your hand. Jesus. What do we have there physically? Two bits of wood. Jesus changed the world with two bits of wood. Don't say you don't have enough. The biggest lie of the devil is that what you've got, who you are, is not enough. You better go to Bible college. You better get your act together. You better get over that habit. You better pray more. Now, of course, do we want to learn about the Word of God? Do we want to be better? Absolutely. But we can't keep putting off our destiny to one day we're perfect. So I'm telling you, we're always, as I said, we're being transformed. We're being saved. We're being renewed day by day. I mean, Christ comes back and redeems us. And we, you know, great. But in the meantime, be content. Be now in God and let him be everything in you right now. Faith is now. Hebrews says, yeah, now faith is. So, the world is screaming at us, you can't. Michael, you can't. When I was younger, it was always about, I'm not old enough. You know, when I'm older, when I've got more authority, you know, I'll learn the ways of the anointing. I'll watch and I'll learn. I'll have more authority. I'll have more confidence in myself as a man who can interact intellectually, sociologically, spiritually, and I'll be able to be a better pastor. And now, as I'm about to turn 50 in two months' time, it's like, oh, now I'm too old. You know, my best years are behind me. I saw those young guns, you know, those young amazing worship leaders or young people who are changing the world. It's like, you know, we always make excuses, and the world says, yeah, you're right. The world will find lots of excuses for you to use. You can just pick, you know, that one. Oh, I'm the wrong ethnicity. I'm the wrong age. I'm the wrong intelligence. I haven't got enough money. I live in the wrong suburb. No. God says you are significant. The world says you can't. God says you are significant. All right? You've got to believe that. Do you believe that? Yes, Michael. It's worse than my year 9 class. It's like, you know. But what you believe, what we believe, what you and I believe, is where our life will go, you know. As a man thinks in his heart. So if you're thinking, yeah, I'm just not enough, life's hard. Well, unfortunately, you're perpetuating that reality, even though God's saying, you're significant. You're awesome. What you've got in your hand is enough. I changed the world with two bits of wood, with an ark, with lunch. So the scripture that I get this word such from is Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Now, I won't read the whole thing, but if you can look this up later. Acts 3, it's the story of Peter and John, Jesus' disciples there. They're kicking off the early church. They're excited about the supernatural power of God. And they come across a man who's begging at the Gate Beautiful outside the temple. And that's his job. His job is to beg for money. I was driving along the freeway where the free Grand Farmer hits Canning Highway or Grayson Highway. And there's a guy there at the moment that has a big sign. Says peace. And as cars go past, maybe he hasn't got the energy for window washing. But he has a big sign that says peace. He's holding up the sign with one hand and his fingers out like this, going peace as drivers going past. And I think he gets quite a bit of money because I think people, they like good news. It's like, oh, good on you, mate. But I'm not sure if it's his job, but these people in biblical times, and even probably today in some countries, their official relegated thing in society, they get the beggar's clothing. They actually have a garment which recognises them as beggars, and they actually officially are allowed to ask for alms, ask for money. So this guy's there, and he's asking for money, and Peter and John, as you know the story, they say, sorry, silver and gold, we haven't got any. We didn't bring our ATM card with us. American Express is at home. I guess it would have been the Israeli Express back then. Don't have it on me. But such, everyone say such. Such. But such as I have, I give to you. Now, we think faith is about not having enough, but somehow God will just, he'll work it out. He's amazing. But God actually looks at us and says, whatever you've got in your hands right now, that is enough. That's going to make it work. So don't keep adding somehow that you've got nothing and God's everything. God says, no, I need to work with something. God is looking for things to work with. He's looking for people to work with. He's looking for faith. But he's also looking for such as you've got. What have you got in your life, in your hands, that God can make make a withdrawal and say, I'm going to partner with that. For me, I guess part of what I have is music. And I could say, well, and you might say, oh, but music's really, amazing. It can be transformative. It can actually change people's lives. I think, well, really, it's just notes. It's music. But we're going to learn a little bit just in a few minutes. There are things that God has put in your life. It could be something as simple as you're an amazing mum or dad or a really hard worker, just very diligent. You've got this diligence. Some people just come and go and you're just rock solid. Maybe you're a good listener. You're compassionate. You're really talented in the kitchen, really good cook. And we always think, I'm good at that, but that doesn't matter. And God's going, that is exactly what I've put in your life that I want to partner with. Such as I have, give I thee. So faith says, because I know my God and he is with me, what I'm doing, like the music that I did before, I could put on a CD, but it wouldn't be me. This is me. The music made an opportunity for you to get to know a bit of me and a bit of my heart and a bit of the passion that God has to heal you and to lift you and encourage you and be your friend. So the music was just like a little tool. It was like a little vehicle for the real thing to happen. In fact, why don't we go straight there? Proverbs 18:16. Let's take a look at that. You doing okay? You with me? You with me? Good. I gotta walk. That's right. I can walk around. I can check a few pulses. Make sure the pulse of the person is going okay. Yeah, they're still with us. 18:16 of Proverbs. Great book. A man's gift or a woman's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So as I said, whatever those gifts you have in your life, they are not the answer, but the purpose of those things is to do something very, very important. It is to make a way for you to have an audience with people, an audience to speak into their life. Because what you do and the way you do it will enable you to connect with people and situations that I could and Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene never could. God is looking for these windows of opportunity to impact people's lives through you. And those things you have in your hand, the sling, the rod, the guitar of David, whatever your thing is, that's such as I have, that is the thing that people think they need, but what they really need, because it says here, a man's gift makes room for who? Makes room for him. A man's gift doesn't just help someone and meet their needs. So if I go and play piano, for example, I go play the piano for the governor. I played recently for the governor's prayer breakfast. Was anyone at that? Anyone at the governor's prayer breakfast? We should book a table next year, Pastor Philip. It's really good. We take out the fill out the grand ballroom. The premier was there. So basically, I'm sitting here playing. There's the premier there at that table, Mr. McGowan. And then there's Colin Barnett, the ex-premier. Then there's the Governor-General, Kerry Sanderson. And then there's the ex-General, McCusker. And then there's a whole other... There's all these people there. And I'm thinking... And I'm there playing the piano, and I get to sit next to them and talk to them and say hello. And I'm thinking, the music, the thing, the such that I had, made room for me, the real me, which is the me, someone who God has touched, God loves, has healed, has given an eternity... That me gets to be in the presence of people of influence. The music, they can get music anywhere. They could have hired someone from an agency, put a CD on. But the music made an opportunity, an audience for me with those people. And God has given you things to give you an audience with people. So what happens is that real us, this is the last thing I want to say. The real you... is that part of you that God has said, I put my spirit inside you, but it comes out and manifests differently through all of us. So we're not like all clones. We're not like just little robots that God goes, okay, I save everyone and they all become the same. We are still who we are. We have different personalities. But what happens is Christ in us begins to manifest love and mercy and wisdom and truth and grace through your personality, through your things that you can do, in a way that is unique, that heaven goes, I'm glad we made William. I'm glad we made Doris. I'm glad we made Dolly. I'm glad we made Nigel. Because they express something out of heaven for the people that they meet that no one else can. Do you believe that? You feel like there's something. You believe there's something in you, not just what you can do. And I'm good at crochet. No. The way Jesus has touched my life, and therefore I get to show that love, will come out of me differently than it can out of anyone else. If it can't, then really you're just taking up space. You're redundant. It's like we've got enough. You know, we've got enough Aussies, enough Indians, enough Malaysians. Yeah, don't need you. No. God says you are important. You are significant because when God has touched you and touched your whole life. His love is going to come out of you and peace and truth will come out of you to touch someone in a way that no one else can. Man, that's why you are awesome. That's why we are awesome for God. So, closing thought. Revival, although a lot of evangelists would say revival sort of starts from the top. Starts from something that there's a divine assault on society by a move of God and changes governments. And I know those there are the things that God does in seasons to really shake the church and to bring light to the church and bring authority to the church within the world. But I actually believe revival happens when every believer steps up in who they are in God, connects together in the local church and be the light of the world on behalf of that church. Monday to Sunday out in the world, at school, at home, with your friends, at work, being Christ ones in our situations. So let me encourage you, what you have is enough. Don't ever doubt that. God, thank you that you've given me what I need. You've given me all things pertaining to life and godliness, and you've made me an able minister. God, I have authority to do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm now back at school, teaching in a school. And I'll be honest with you, the first day, there's no one from my school here. Good. No, can't tell them what. The first day, I went there to the chapel service. And I was standing at the back just watching how they do things. And there's these little kids, kinder kids, just running around the room crazy. And there's, you know, just like this going manic all over the place. I'm thinking, I haven't got kids. So it's like, what are these little things running around? And then there's year 12s in the back row, you know. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I'm standing amongst this, you know, 450 kids doing this. And I'm going, where am I? God, what are you doing? What am I doing here? I'd much be rather like talking to adults like you, having fun, preaching, praying, playing. But God has put me there to be able to be light and truth and encouragement to these young kids who get an opportunity to find God, to grow in God. But the thing that God used to get me into school wasn't my pastoring. It was the fact that they needed a music teacher, a music director. So music has made a way for me to come in now and impact these little lives. And just about 2 weeks ago, we had a devotion with some of the kids who helped me lead the worship. And we had a couple of kids who were new to the team come in, and they'd shared with the team this week, you know, I almost tried to commit suicide. I was like really at the end of my tether. And so we just, obviously, we took the appropriate steps with parents and teachers and find out what we can do there. But the other kids in the team got around these kids, and we talked about prophesying, how to prophesy. So there I am, on a Wednesday morning in devotion with this team, teaching kids how to prophesy and declare God's hope and future life and dreams and destiny over this other young teenage girl. And I'm standing back. I stand back watching this and going, God, you are so good. Because I thought I was there to teach music. No, the music was a door opener for God to start to bring life and discipleship to these young people. So don't ever underestimate what you're doing. You're there cleaning cars. You're there studying in the library. God, you're God's secret weapon. You are God's hero in that situation, because what you have is enough. So what I'd like to do in closing is just like to sing one song. Very simply, it says Jesus loves me, and then perhaps while I'm singing that, you say, well, I really feel like God's forgotten me. I feel like God, doesn't think I'm good enough, and I don't think I'm good enough. I want you in your heart, just maybe even as I play, maybe we can stand and sing it together. Let's sing Jesus Loves Me together. And if you'd like someone to stand with you and to pray with you and start to really, we're going to go on this journey together. I really encourage you, come out the front. And never be too shy or ashamed to go, I've been doing too hard on my own. I want to step into God's goodness and best for me, and have someone to stand with you and pray for you with that. So if we could all do that, stand and sing together, that'd be great. With a song, I Surrender All. That was actually the song, as I said, I felt we should finish with. So I really encourage you, why don't you just surrender all to God? If you've got something in your hands that you've actually held it on to yourself, you said, this is mine. I'm not going to share this with anyone, either because I don't want anyone to see how bad this is or how good this is, but we just got to surrender it all to God. So just bring our hearts, our life, our destiny before Him this morning. and surrender it all to Him.
Sing more to Jesus, I surrender.
One more time. Can we just close our eyes just for a moment? Bow our heads. Obviously, I don't know everyone here this morning. Perhaps everyone here has made a conscious, committed decision to follow Jesus. But maybe you're here and you've actually not got to that part of your journey where you say, you know what? I'm going all out. I'm going for it. I want to give God my whole life. I want to surrender my whole heart, my whole past, present, and future to Him. I want to come home. The Bible simply says that if anyone opens the door of their heart and invites Jesus in, there'll be a new person, a new creature, a new creation. If that's you this morning, you say, Michael, I want to be a new creature. I want to be a new, fresh start. I want to surrender my life to God. I'd love to pray for you right now, just that God would reveal Himself to you, He'd fill you, He'd come to you. He's with you right now, but the Bible says that if we call upon His name and say, God, I want you to save me, the Bible says we will be saved, we'll be born again and become a Christian. If that's you this morning, you'd like me to pray for you right where you're seated, just raise your hand up and I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you. And then we'll sing one more time. If that's you, just raise it up and we'll pray together. We'll pray it with you. Jesus loves you so much. Just looking around one more time, you say, Michael, I'd like to come home. I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I'd love to pray for you. Why don't we get the team, wouldn't mind joining me back on the stage, and we'll sing this one more time. And let's put that into practice this week. Such as I have, give I thee. Whatever I've got, God, I'm going to let you use it to make room for me. The gift makes room and brings me before kings, brings me before great men and women to make a difference for you. God's going to do that. So let's sing all to Jesus, I surrender.
I surrender.
God, we give it all to you for your glory. God, to say thank you for using us and living through us. The best is yet to come.